You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queercast on the internet. Today's Sunday, August 28th, 2005. Had a busy weekend. I spent the whole weekend at the boyfriend's house. So for those of you who sent me email over the weekend, by the time you're hearing this, I have replied. But the boyfriend and I, we were actually kind of lazy this weekend. It was kind of a wet, cloudy weekend in the D.C. area, so we just kind of stayed in. But we did actually a lot of, I didn't, but the boyfriend did, I did a little bit too, worrying about the Hurricane Katrina that's down in the Gulf of Mexico. By the time you're hearing this, of course, the hurricane will have already struck, but right now I'm recording this on Sunday evening at about 7:30 in the evening, and it hasn't hit yet. Now, the worrying, I guess, really is because the boyfriend's family all lives in the New Orleans, Louisiana, area down there. And he has been, calling them and emailing them and making sure that they're out of the way. And I guess his sister went to Houston to get out of the way, and his mother and father went a little bit farther north, but not far enough, I don't think. But he was worried because it doesn't seem like his family is as worried about this hurricane as the rest of the world because of the strength. They've been through many, many hurricanes and aren't as concerned about it, but hopefully they will be safe where they are. And the boyfriend reminded me that we have a listener in Louisiana, Trisha, who's in the New Orleans area, and we gave her some advice on some wine with some food that she was serving. So, Trisha, we hope you are safe in New Orleans, and hopefully you got out of the way. Of course, by the time you hear this, it will all be gone. But most of the weekend we spent at the boyfriend's condo, just kind of like lounging around, watching TV, and talking, and hanging out, and stuff like that, and not a whole lot going on. Then today we went to a winery, our favorite winery, Grey Ghost in Amosville, Virginia, and the boyfriend was picking up his case of Cabernet Sauvignon because he has it. Well, because he's a regular customer, they give what's called futures, which you can pre-order a case of wine without knowing what it's going to taste like, but you know it's probably going to be good. So we went down there with a lunch, and we had a private tasting of the Cabernet Sauvignon for 2005. Oh my God, I don't even know. That's terrible, but the boyfriend would know. Anyway, we tasted wine, and it was absolutely delicious, and we had some lunch, and then we came home, and then the boyfriend went on home because he needs to call his parents and his sister. So I am just now catching up on all the stuff that I need to do, like laundry and paying some bills and stuff like that, because tomorrow I start back to work, and time is going to be very limited, so I'm trying to do everything I can on Sunday evening. And that might be my routine now for quite a while, getting everything done on a Sunday that you don't do on the weekends. So, I wanted to talk about the Little Fatties at littlefatty.com, Larry and Larry. Of course, you already know that I listen to that show, and I really enjoy those guys. Well, last week, one of them, I think, I'm not sure which one or even who, but somebody suggested that we have an East Coast Podcasters meetup. And I jumped right on it and said, that is a great idea. And they kicked around a couple cities and then mentioned Washington, D.C. So I, sent them an email saying, I am in for it for Washington, D.C. And if it all, works out, I'll even throw a little gathering or get-together at my place with, of course, some wine. And so all the podcasters can meet. I don't know the details yet or anything, but the idea is there. And right now we're shooting for the weekend of September 30th. So if any East Coast podcasters are listening and you don't know about this, send an email to larry@littlefatty.com and tell him that you are interested in the East Coast Podcasters meetup. Because I think it will be fun. Well, at least, if nothing else, we get to meet the other podcasters and hang out a little bit and, talk about how we record. And I don't know, I just think it would be cool to talk to other podcasters. It'd be pretty neat. So, let's see. I do have, what else? Oh, somebody was talking to me about being on iChat, and I am on iChat as Archer Radio. So if anybody is on iChat, which I think can connect to all kinds of other chat programs, so feel free to. I'm not going to be on there very often, that's for sure, but put me on your list so that you can see when I am on Archer Radio. Now, I do have some PodSafe music I'm going to play. I know that this first part's kind of short. Oh, God, excuse me. I know people don't like that. I'm sorry. I do have some PodSafe music to play. It's one more song by Robin Stone, and the song is called Threes. And, of course, you can go to the website and find the link to Robin Stone's music on today's entry. So listen to the song called Threes by Robin Stone. And after the, right after the music, I'm going to go into some audio that the boyfriend and I recorded Saturday night. We were talking about politics and the Cindy Sheehan thing, and the boyfriend was really good with his history. So right after the music, I will play that audio of the boyfriend and I talking, and then I'll come back at the end. So listen to this music and the audio, and I'll be back.
It was all in their head. So here we are after dinner, and the boyfriend just made a delicious beef tenderloin with some jasmine rice.
London broil.
London broil. What did I call it?
Beef tenderloin.
It's a London broil with jasmine rice. It was delicious, and we're having a nice Paramond Meritage Reserve red. And it's just delicious.
Now, I'm tasting some chambersin in this.
You'll have to speak up.
I'm detecting some chambersin in this.
And we're also having some brownie with it.
We're having some brownie with this red wine, and it's very, very good.
Mmm. Now, I have no idea how this audio is going to record because I'm holding the iRiver.
And you're eating. You're eating at the same time.
Yeah, so see, I have to point it towards you for the microphone. See that little hole right there?
Yes.
No, don't scream.
I'm talking loudly.
That's loudly. That's okay. Well, I have a little drink of my wine. Oh, that's good with the brownie. What were we going to talk about on tonight's show?
Well, we can mention the upcoming anti-war protest in September.
Oh, on September 24th, which we're planning to go to.
Yes.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, I heard that Cindy Sheehan is leaving Wednesday on her bus tour from Camp Casey to Washington, D.C., and she's hoping she'll be in D.C. by the 24th.
Yeah.
You know the first stop she's making?
Where?
Tom DeLay's home state.
Oh, good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Home state?
Home, wherever.
Home city.
Home city.
Okay.
Wherever he's from.
Yeah, she shouldn't stop until every Republican knows. And, you know, there are some Democrats who need to feel the heat, too. Because we need to also be tired of these milquetoast Democrats who are afraid to come out against the war and President Bush because they don't want to sound anti-American. They don't want to upset the apple cart. And these are usually Democrats affiliated with the DLC. Joe Biden, for example. And I hate
to say
it.
What's DLC?
Democratic Leadership Conference.
Oh.
And I hate to say it, but I think even Hillary needs to be held to the fire as well, because she's another one. She's, you know, been reluctant to embrace Cindy Sheehan, an anti-war activist. In the meantime, you know, the folks over at Fox and other conservative figures in the media are calling the anti-war activists extremists, radicals.
And un-American.
Well, they need to wake up because President Bush's approval rating is 40%. So I don't think leading Democrats want to be associated with someone who has now been judged to be a failure, which many of us already knew. He was a failure, a dangerous person, a liar. I think not just the Republicans need to be held accountable, but the Democrats too. If they don't want to speak up, then we don't need to be associating with them or giving them our time and money. That's just my opinion.
I agree. But did you see on the news tonight? Well, you probably didn't. That there were about 1,000 pro-Bush supporters on the opposite side of the street of Cindy Sheehan.
Yeah, 1,000. And look at the number Cindy Sheehan has. I mean, it's a dwindling number. And either you live in the world of reality, which is which those of us who, of course, have been loathing George Bush all this time and the people around him. But what I'm hoping is that many Americans are waking up from this dream world of false patriotism, false economic security, greed.
Well, false scares, too.
Intimidation, but it's all fear. I mean, Americans are living in fear, not just of Al-Qaeda terrorists, but fear in a number of ways. You know, we live in... we're being terrorized by our environment. We're being terrorized by our lack of health care. We're being terrorized by lack of job security. I mean, whether we want to realize it or not, this is not this time of America being a time of prosperity is really, it's a charade. It's, you know, we're debt-ridden, we're living on credit cards, we're owned by China. That's what we're afraid of, but the Bush folks like for us to believe that really they want us to believe that we can continue living the way we're living. We don't need to be mindful of the environment. We don't need to drive cars we can afford to maintain. Pay for the gas. We don't need to conserve energy. We don't need to watch our spending. We can have it all.
Okay, but now, would you say that they're doing this by creating this fear? How are they doing that?
No, it's the fear we know. Of course, I say this as this is my history teacher hat that I'm wearing.
Okay.
But the Chinese have, you know, this, or at least the Confucian scholars had this theory called the dynastic cycle, and they theorize that when an empire or a kingdom becomes too wealthy and too prosperous, it's actually a sign of decline. It leads to corruption. It leads to internal conflict. It leads to conflict from outside. It leads to political figures who are actually, you know, they're actually weak, but they show strength through false means. All of this is part of that dynastic cycle. And at the end of the dynastic cycle, normally it ends with warfare and chaos and conflict. And it resolves itself only after that dynasty is overthrown or its rule ends.
I'd say we're there right now.
Well, but empire is the same. You could look at the Roman Empire, for example. When at the time that Rome was in a state of decline, Rome didn't just fall. Over time, it decayed and declined. But it was the same thing. The greed and gluttony of the patrician class, this chasm between the haves and the have-nots was tremendous during the peak of the wealth of the Roman Empire. The emperors living lavishly without really regarding one similarity, you know, between the Chinese emperors during the times of the Ming and afterwards lived in what was called the Forbidden City, and it was a this
like
this haven in which the emperors could live and never leave. The emperor and his family never had to leave the Forbidden City, and no one could enter. So they always lived in this pretend world, and everything was heavenly.
Talk about detached from the...
Detached, well, and so it's no wonder why that also brought about a decline in China's prestige over time. Of course, these days, things being what they are, decline can happen rather rapidly. So we can look at Crawford, Texas, as a forbidden city in which the emperor does not want to know what's going on. He's protected by his subordinates, and the American people are willing to go along with the fantasy. And now it's beginning to end. I mean, we're seeing all this economic news about living in debt, about the housing bubble. The average American household has $7,200 in credit card debt. It's impossible to maintain.
Okay, let's try to bring it back to where we started with the
war protests. So I think what Cindy Sheehan has brought to light is the fact that our president who likes to think of himself as an emperor. And let's face it, the Bush family is a political dynasty.
Yes.
But she has brought to light the fact that our president is severely disconnected from reality.
I agree with that. Now, what is she? Do you know what she's hoping to accomplish with the rally? I'm assuming it's going to be a rally on September 24th.
No. Here in D.C., it's not necessarily her. There is this massive protest planned by various anti-war activist organizations or groups. And a colleague of mine is the one who's...
So then really she's just joining something that's already...
She and her coterie will be joining this mass of demonstrators. They will be converging on D.C. on that date.
This will be my first protest.
Really?
Mm-hmm. My first black protested... this will be my first protest.
Well, I've done my share in
I know, you're more political than I am.
This will be my first one in a while. So, not really, of course, when I moved here, Clinton was... Well, it was the last days of the Bush regime, Bush first, and Clinton was here, so... my activist activities tended to be around issues like AIDS awareness and gay rights and that kind of thing. This will be my really first against the president.
It'll be interesting. First time where we would be protesting a war, because in our lifetime we haven't seen.
And I've done marches and walks and sit-ins, the vigils and that kind of thing. When I first moved here.
Yeah.
But,
I'm changing subject once again. Not really changing the subject, but did you hear that Bush rents the cows that he has on his farm? I actually want to... I know a lot of people think that. I heard on CNN, I believe it was CNN, that I heard that Bush rents the cows for his land. Well, coming from a family of farmers, my uncle is a cattle farmer.
No.
And you rent your cattle. I don't think he's renting them to make it look like he's a cattle farmer. The farm, if it's anything like my uncle's farm, you rent the cattle, then when you have the cattle slaughtered, you pay for them. So you're just renting them until you're going to slaughter them. So the way CNN reported, they were trying to make it sound like they were renting them just to show the cattle.
You know what?
To make it look like a working farm. But if it is, I'm sure it is a real working farm. But when you rent the cattle, you rent them until you buy them. So I think that might be one misinterpretation of Bush renting cattle. What?
But here's another history lesson. Catherine the Great, the Tsarina of Russia,
okay,
fancied herself to be an enlightened monarch. So her minister, Potemkin, would arrange for villages to appear, because Catherine liked to visit the villages, and she wanted to see that she was popular with the peasants.
So he would create this...
So he would create villages with actors, and there were props. The actors, the village, all of it.
Just to make her feel
pretend.
Good.
And Catherine would visit the village, but she wouldn't actually go in the village grounds. She would view this from a distance, and she was very nearsighted.
Okay.
So it all looked fuzzy to her. So all she saw in this blurry,
haze,
dancing, happy peasants, productive villages, and so they would fold up camp and
go somewhere else.
And it was the same village, the same actors, but she was nearsighted. She didn't know. So guess how Catherine felt about herself?
She felt very good about herself.
She felt enlightened, like the peasants liked her.
I know, but now see, you're making it sound like, believe me, I do not support Bush in any way, but I just think the reporting...
Do you think he really clears brush?
No, but let me finish.
All right.
I just think that the reporting of the cattle being rented on CNN was just... It was a little incorrect, because I don't think they did enough research to find out that... Because my uncle, he rents the cattle until you slaughter them. Once you slaughter them, you pay for them. So I don't think it's the same situation that he's creating.
Well, listen, I beg to disagree.
All right.
The key word is your uncle is a working farmer. George Bush never worked a day in his life.
No, but I'm saying he owns a farm.
Right.
A working farm.
Yeah. I think nothing is real about George Bush.
Well, the interesting, now this is interesting. We just agreed to disagree. That's an interesting point that people are allowed to disagree and still get along just fine. excuse me. Now, what do I have to look forward to with this protest march, whatever it is?
One of a colleague of mine is kind of getting some other teachers to go along, so more will be revealed.
Okay, well, you just keep me posted.
I have a feeling, well, she and her husband go to, she's always asked me to join, her and her husband, in various, because they're very politically active.
Uh-huh.
And she's always arranged it during a time when I either could meet them or they were doing something else or whatever.
Well, this time it's going to work out, right?
But I have it on the calendar and I know that I want to do it.
Okay. Now, you know, changing the subject again, the week after that, the Larrys of LittleFatty.com are organizing an East Coast Podcasters, an East Coast Podcasters meetup.
Okay.
And I think I already told you that you will be cooking for a little gathering.
I didn't know I was cooking.
Yeah, I guess maybe I didn't tell you. I volunteered to have a gathering at my house, not a dinner, but like just drinks and hors d'oeuvres, you know, at my house for the East Coast Podcasters, because they're going to be coming to the area. I don't know, I have to talk to Larry, but he's going to try to get hotels in Arlington.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it should be fun.
I can't wait to see what you're going to cook.
I can't wait to see what you're going to cook either. You know what I do? If you leave it up to me, I'd go into Price Club and get those prepackaged things. And
I'll cook.
Get some of those. But you know what I do want to get is those little cream puffs. Do you like those cream puffs?
Cream. What are you talking about?
little puff pastries with cream inside.
Is that what you really want?
Those are delicious.
I'll let you have those.
Okay. Well,
you can also showcase some of the wines you've been collecting.
Well, that was actually my idea it was your idea, actually. Well, not at first. I was going to have several different whites, and then you suggested,
well, that we have, while your guests are arriving and everyone's kind of, you know, being introduced and the doorbell is ringing, that you have some light appetizers, cheese, crackers, fruit.
Things that go with white wine.
And with some light white wines. And then after all of your guests arrive and everyone's been introduced and we've mingled for a bit, then you have like a second wave
of hors d'oeuvres
that you can have a couple bottles of white. And of course
with red.
Right, red wines.
Yes, with red.
Did I say white?
Yeah, you said
I'm sorry. And of course we'll have Coke and Sprite and non-alcoholic beverages for those who don't like that kind of thing. And we might even have some Schlitz.
No, I don't think we'll have Schlitz.
My Aunt Shirley drank Schlitz.
I know, we've heard that story before. Maybe some other kind of beer, but not Schlitz. I don't know what these podcasters drink, so in any case, I'm looking forward to meeting the Larrys. And Mr. Poos is in Ithaca, and I'm really hoping he would come down, but he's going to be in classes, so I doubt he'll come down.
Oh.
So.
Well, wait a minute. I'm a teacher. I can just write a pass. I can write a note.
He's at in university level. He's in college.
Oh, it's all the same thing.
No, it's not.
I can say, please excuse Mr. Poos, because... And I can say that as an advanced level history teacher, I am mentoring a paper that Mr. Poos is writing. And we can even cite some historical sites. I have a home library full of documents and his history books. And I think we could do it.
Well, we'll see. I'm hoping Mr. Poos comes down. But I'm not sure of the...
Hey, I can give him a paper to write. You tried reading one of my papers today and you were bored.
I was bored.
Because I took this class, History of London.
Yes.
History of New Orleans.
I was going to say, but this was written about Louis Armstrong.
Because I was assigned a topic, and then I had to write on that topic.
And while I do enjoy his music...
You were bored with my paper.
I was bored with your paper, yeah. But we're totally getting off topic here. I was going to say...
It's okay, I've gotten over it.
I'll make it up to you later. I was
going to say... Someone gets spanked.
Okay, don't start that.
I'm sorry. I don't want to get into your guilty pleasures. All right. Next topic.
I was just going to say that I don't know who the other podcasters are who would be coming on the East Coast. You're not a big podcast listener, so I don't know who you know of.
I don't. I just know you.
I think that's probably true. Yeah. Well, anyway.
You're my favorite podcaster.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, I think we will end this part of the show, and I will probably come back and talk in a minute. So, because we're recording this on Saturday night, August 27th, 2005, and I won't be posting this until Monday. So, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
He's so good at saying goodbye. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
So that was the audio, the boyfriend and I talking about politics and getting some historical references in there, because the boyfriend is so smart. So that's about all for the podcast today. I didn't record any videos. I don't have any videos to play this week, so unless I do some video recording this week, you won't have any videos to watch. You'll just have podcasts. And as you can tell, because I'm going to go ahead and post this Sunday night, so that because I'm not going to have enough time, so I'm going to post the same day that I actually create the podcast. So, I'm probably going to do that for the rest of the week, just so I can get into my schedule. So, that's all for now. So, hope you guys have a great day, depending on when you're listening to this, and hopefully the hurricane did not cause too much damage. And that's it. So, thanks for the emails. Thanks for the comments. Feel free to send email, comments, voicemail, whatever. And until next time, boys and girls, bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.